Today we're in Lesson 19, Ecclesiastes 10, verses 1 through 15. In the last lesson, the preacher talked about the value of wisdom and the stark reality that the wise who come from a lower position or status in life are not heard over the shout of a ruler or well-known person who has a following of fools. We see this in the public arena today. Politicians, Hollywood figures, and religious leaders who have a name, and even some church pastors who have a name, these are followed and influence our country and the church at large, oftentimes with wisdom that is not biblical wisdom. In today's verses, Solomon continues to talk about the characteristics of wisdom by contrasting it with the characteristics of foolishness. So verse 1, he says, "Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor." In this verse, Solomon gives us a basic principle that we should heed. Folly creates problems for those who commit it. In chapter 7, verse 1, he compared a good name to fragrant perfume. So he uses that image again. What dead flies are to perfume, folly is to the reputation of the wise person. The logical conclusion is the wise person walking in wisdom will stay away from folly. Foolishness disgraces a wise man's honor. One moral failure can destroy the influence of a lifetime of wisdom and honor. Let me ask you to consider an important question. Why is one person foolish and another wise? Well, before we answer, let's read verses 2 and 3. "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool." To answer our question, it all depends on the inclinations of our heart. Verse 2, it's about the heart. Ladies, the heart refers to the center of one's life, the master control within us that governs the issues of life that Solomon talks about in Proverbs 4, verse 23. In the Old Testament, the heart includes the mind, and it's as well as the center of your emotions, your soul. When Solomon says the heart of the wise is at the right hand, he means in the place of honor. Check out Psalm 110, verse 1. It was also a place of power in the Old Testament. Check out Psalm 20, verse 6. And a place of righteousness, Isaiah 41, verse 10. The fool's heart at his left, which it represents weakness and rejection and unrighteousness. The heart in this context implies the place decisions are made. Then Solomon says in verse 3, "The foolish man or woman has a way of making their folly evident." One of the ways they do this is when people try to correct them, we would say with godly wisdom that lines up with God's word, he refuses to listen. And this tells everybody that he's a fool. Again, a wise person will stay away from folly because his heart is in the right place. Having laid down the principle, Solomon then applies it to four different fools. First, we have foolishness in high places, and what we would say would be perhaps the foolishness of a ruler. So let's read verses 4 through 7. "If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, don't leave your post. For conciliation pacifies great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants." Well, when he says, "if the spirit of the ruler rises against you," the idea here seems to be, even in a difficult situation, don't leave your post. Be faithful to your position, and you will find that conciliation pacifies great offenses. In verses 6 and 7, the preacher wanted to remind us that not all is fair in life. Foolish men are promoted or accepted to positions of great leadership. Some lowly men are unwisely exalted. They're the servants on horses. While some noble men are humbled. They're the princes that walk on ground like servants. Then he moves on in verses 8 through 10 to foolishness in action. So in other words, to foolish workers. And he says, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull and the one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Oh, he says, he who digs a pit will fall into it. Well, Solomon listed several examples of those who did wrong or foolish things and then suffered because of it. From one commentator, he says, the spiritual application could be of this, of the idea, whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent in this. He says this, whoever pulls down the wall of temperance, a serpent will bite him. Trembling hands, broken constitutions, ruined reputations, vanished ambitions, wasted lives, poverty, shame, and enfeebled will, death. These are the serpents that bite. In many cases, the transgressor, the fool in action. The fool will continue to use a dull axe instead of being wise and sharpening the edge. The fool doesn't wisely consider the future and how to make a wise use of their time in the present can make for a much better future. Then in verses 11 through 15, let's read these verses. A serpent may bite when it's not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies him, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Here we have the last example, the example, or at least the last one for today, of the foolish talker, the babbler. In verse 11, Solomon says, a serpent may bite when it's not charmed. The babbler is no different. As dangerous as a biting serpent is, so is one who babbles like a fool. Though the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Well, the fool is known by his many words and by his presumption about the future, when no man knows what is to be. In verse 15, we have one line about the labor of fools. The fool has no desire to work, and when they do, they quickly become wearied. They can't see that it's wise to work now in order to prepare for the future. And then when he says they do not even know how to go to the city, the preacher continued to subtly back away from his previous under-the-sun premise. The fool, in other words, has no sense of direction or goal. One commentator says, here this is when he says they do not know how to go to the city, it's really kind of a proverb, and it's in a voice of sarcasm. This proverb says that a person may be so involved in arguing about the universe that he misses what the ordinary person is concerned about, namely finding his way home. So in closing out today's lesson, let's remember folly is a heart issue. So let's end by reading what Solomon had to say in Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 27. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Ladies, it's up to us to keep our heart. The study notes for this lesson can be found at naomistable.com.